you think back and say, well, what was that message? If it's from God, you'll remember it. There's all kinds of rhetoric that can be said from this pulpit, but it doesn't matter if it isn't anointed and by the Word of God. So if you turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, we have an enemy of our soul that is constantly trying to condemn us. And it's a problem for saints. We didn't even know the enemy existed before we came into the church because we're on his side. But then all of a sudden, when we decide that we're going to live for God, now we have some problems. And verse number 1 of that 8th chapter says, there is therefore now no condemnation. And that word condemnation means adverse sentence or verdict to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son or flesh in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So there's no more sentence, there's no verdict, there's no condemnation to any of us. And that's why we can be free in this place. We walk in initially and we're feeling, boy, I don't know if I fit. But then when God cleanses us, there should be no more condemnation. We should be free from attacks. And then if you go to Acts, the 1st chapter, laying a foundation here. Chapter 1, verse number 8, very familiar. Jesus, last words he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Chapter 2, verse 32. In the first message to the church, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Chapter 22 of Acts, and verse number 15, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. It's talking about the church. And then the last scripture, Acts 26 and 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. The Holy Ghost isn't just to make us feel good or to give us power in order to resist the enemy, but there's a purpose in the Holy Ghost that we would become the witness of what we've heard and what we've seen. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word this morning. We're grateful for it. God, that you inspired it, but Lord, that you've kept it for us. It's the only thing that we have from heaven. And the Word was made flesh, so this book is you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm sorry, could you leave the screen down and could we show scriptures? From the moment we enter into the kingdom of God, Jesus said, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God except you're born of the water and born of the Spirit. But the moment we entered into the kingdom of God, we became a witness. What surprised me yesterday as I was putting this message together, the Greek word for witness is martus, meaning martyr. And And the word martyr is a person who suffers for a godly cause. So God is saying every time we are a witness to what we've seen and what we have heard, there's going to be a little bit of suffering involved. And that's why there are a lot of people who just back away from talking about the things of God because they're afraid of the little bit of suffering or the rejection or the controversy that there's going to be in being that witness. There are only two places in the Bible that the word martyr is used, and it's in Acts 22 and 20, and then Revelation 2 and 13. And Stephen gave his life because of his witness for Jesus Christ. And now you're saying, well, where can I sign up to be a witness? No, most people say, wait a minute, I'll talk about God, but I don't want to suffer anything as a result of talking about God. But I don't want to have any trouble. Well, then you won't be really an effective witness. I shouldn't be preaching messages like this on a Sunday morning to make you feel like, uh-oh, there's trouble. Two Wednesdays ago, I preached a message, and the title was How to Get into Trouble. And the problem is there aren't enough people getting into trouble these days because they're not opening their mouths like we really should. And every prophet in the Old Testament got into trouble. They were troublemakers. Elijah got in so much trouble because of calling fire down from heaven that he actually had to run and hide in a cave until God said, oh, come on out. Don't hide in a cave someplace because of the miraculous that you've experienced in God. All of the apostles were not only troublemakers, but they were martyrs. Remember when that troublemaker came to you? Maybe some of you are sitting in here this morning because a troublemaker came to you and told you about the things of God. And I remember I wasn't very happy. Just leave me alone. You know, it's time we trouble this world that troubles us every day. It's time that we get into their lives and say, listen, this is what you need to do. Hallelujah. Friday, a sister called me who's been just in the church about a year, and she said, Pastor, I've got a lot of people angry with me at work. She said, I've been talking about the things that you've been preaching. I've been telling them about the oneness of God. I told them there's no Trinity within the Bible. I'm telling them about the experience that you have when you get the Holy Ghost and that there aren't saints in heaven that we need to pray for. In fact, they're all asleep. Oh, and they're angry. What do I do? Just keep doing what you're doing. I need some more phone calls like that. I need some troublemakers in the pew. Because we got this idea that, well, we come into the church, everybody's going to love us because we're doing what's right. No, it just doesn't happen that way. Actually, all she had to do is keep her mouth shut. But Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Shall is not maybe. What a difference from Peter, who denied the Lord three times before the upper room, and then he stood in front of thousands of people and said, you have crucified your only Lord and Savior. Well, what's the difference? One was endued with power from on high. The other one, well, still operating in the flesh. And that should irritate people like on the day of Pentecost. But at the end of it, even though they were irritated, they were pricked in their hearts and said, okay, what should I do? And you know, that's the course that almost every person takes. You know, we hear this, we're a little annoyed by it because we thought if I just accept God, it's enough. But then we were saying, well, tell me more. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. He who wins souls is wise, and we have access to the tree of life. Hallelujah. From the moment we entered into the kingdom of God, we also found out that we had an enemy. Amen. He had never really bothered us before, because you had never really bothered him before. He liked your old lifestyle, but now everything about you in your new life irritates him. Now that actually would be quite frightening if we wanted to become a witness for Jesus, except that the very moment you entered into the kingdom of God, you received something that you had never received before. You received power. You also found out that you had a powerful Father that loved you more than you could possibly imagine, and a new covenant to guard you, a new heart to guide you, new mercies to forgive you, new power to sustain you, and a new name to identify you, so you don't have to be frightened. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians was quoted this morning, 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. Anybody like a new pair of shoes, a new suit, a new dress? There's a young man today who had some new alligator shoes, and he needed to show them to me because I'm a shoe. Revelation 21 and 5 says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." That's you. God likes new bodies to walk in. Not old wineskins, but new wineskins. New shoes to walk in. New people who have a love and a desire to tell other people about God. We've all heard about people who have been willing to witness against criminals in society. And you recognize that if I'm going to be a witness against some kind of gangster, you know, that could be a little scary, you know, knowing full well that they are putting their lives at risk. They've had to change their name, relocate, leave old friends, and even some family. They get a new birth certificate as well as a new name, a new house, financial support from the U.S. Marshal System, 24/7 protection and security. Their past is now in the past, and all records of what they did before is completely wiped out, and they have a brand new life because they were willing to witness about the evil that was in a neighborhood, in a family. It's called Witness Protection Program. Now, church, if we are willing to testify and be a witness, God immediately enrolls us in a Witness Protection Program. There is a new name that we get, the name of Jesus. A fresh start with all of our records that we had in the past are completely wiped out and destroyed. We are relocated into the kingdom of God that has no end. We sever all contacts with the old life, because you never know that the gangster could come and get us. Our new birth certificate reads the day that we entered into that protection system. Now we get financial support from heaven. There's a new home and new family that we didn't even realize that we had before. And oh, we have 24/7 protection and security from on high. Psalms 91:11 says, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all their ways," because we've entered into a witness protection program, because we're witnessing against the evil in this world. We just don't stand there and just, okay, yeah, well, that's bad. You're willing to do something about it. There's even a new health program paid for by Jesus, all because we entered into the witness protection program that God has put us in. But should we opt out of the program? Oh, I miss some of the old ways. Oh, I wish I could go back to that old place that I used to do this and do that. If I thought, well, I just want to make a call home to those druggies. The protection is gone, no more financial support, and worst of all, there are threats of the enemy because now they know where you live. You see, once we entered into the program, the devil doesn't even know where we are. Those that have been in the program have been asked this question: was it worth it? Yes, because I've saved a lot of people's lives, and I'll never go back. Somebody's got to be determined. I'm not going back. There are too many benefits. There's too much protection. There's too much financial help. There's too much health help because I entered into God's program. The criminals got long sentences but won't stop trying to get to me. You can guarantee that there's always going to be some resistance. There's always going to be something that's going to come against us. We know it, but we don't have to be afraid of it. I need the witness protection program for the rest of my life. Let me ask you, will you testify and be a witness? There's responsibility. Knowing you will never go back to the old life. God's program offers everything if you will enter into his programs. Romans 8:1 said, "There is therefore now no more condemnation, no more adverse verdict to them that walk in the Spirit." Each of us have a past, but only in the devil's record book. And in yours, David said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and my sin is ever before me." The problem is, God has forgotten. God has wiped out the record, but you haven't. And so when you are in one of those idle moments and the records come back to your mind, that's not God. That's the enemy trying to find you and trying to take you out of the witness protection program. God's program offers everything that we need. Each of us have a past. And he keeps trying to hunt me down and pin it on me, but my sins. The only control the enemy has over me is my sin. But when God wipes out my sin, then there is no more control, you see. And now we're under the blood of Jesus. I'm under the witness protection plan because of the blood of Jesus. Take a look at 1 Peter 5:8. I'm not preaching long this morning, but 1 Peter 5:8. Verse 7 says, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that we have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, settled you. Hallelujah. For the devil is like a roaring lion. Years ago, I did a study on roaring lions. The ones that roar are the male lions, but the ones who really do the hunting are the female lions. So what happens is that the male lion roars, and then the prey runs from the roar and goes to the female lions who grab them. You know? And so what God is saying, the roar isn't anything. You know, don't worry about it. In fact, Brother Putnam wrote a book years ago, Run to the Roar. It's the safest place. There's going to be all kinds of threats against us from time to time. But you know what? I'm in the Witness Protection Program. There's U.S. Marshals. Better yet, there are angels that are surrounding me. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. Verse number 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So, we know, we're educated. We're not educated in the university, we're educated in the church about all of the devices. Now, even though we are in God's program, it hasn't stopped the enemy from trying to track us down. And every time he reminds me of my past, I remind him of his future. Hey, bottomless pit, lake of fire, you know, I'm going to glory, I'm going to heaven, I have eternal life, all bliss, streets of gold. It's like the older lady who got pulled over from speeding. Don't raise your hand if you've been pulled over from speeding, but I've heard that it's a very traumatic thing for you over and over again. Woman, is there a problem, officer? Ma'am, you were speeding. Oh, I see. Can I see your license, please? I give it to you, but I don't have one. Don't have one? I lost it 4 years ago for drunk driving. I see. Can I see your vehicle registration papers, please? I can't do that. Why not? I stole this car. You stole it? Yes, and I killed the owner. You what? His body is in the trunk if you want to see it. The officer looks at the woman, stunned, and slowly backs away from the car, calls for backup. Within minutes, there's 5 police cars that arrive. A senior officer slowly approaches the woman with his hand on his gun. Ma'am, could you step out of the vehicle, please? Is there a problem, sir? One of my officers tells me that you have stolen this car and murdered the owner. Murdered the owner? Yes, could you please open the trunk? And the woman opens the trunk to reveal that it's empty. Is this your car, ma'am? Yes, here are the registration papers. Well, one of my officers claims that you don't have a driver's license. The woman starts digging in her handbag, hands him a driver's license. Thank you, ma'am. One of my officers told me that you didn't have this license, that you stole this car, and that you murdered the owner. The woman says, yeah, right. I'll bet he told you that I was speeding too. The devil is constantly trying to pull you over. Don't go to church. God's not going to be pleased with you this week. Pull you over for something that you didn't do and something God doesn't condemn you for, but you and I can fall into his attempts of arresting our attention and forgetting about God and his mercy. Not by lying, not by deception. We aren't just pretending that we're a new person. I am a new person in Christ. Old things have passed away. He not only washed my sins away, but he has forgotten my sins. In the court system, there is a fundamental legal right known as double jeopardy. It is a right not to be tried twice for the same offense. It is found under our Fifth Amendment of the Constitution, and any person charged with an offense, if acquitted of that offense, has the right not to be tried again for the same thing that they were tried for and found innocent. Not to continually be brought back to trial over and over again for something that they have been acquitted. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to bring you to trial over and over. Yes, I remember what I did 45 years ago. Yes, I understand that I wasn't the perfect person. But don't you come back to me, because that's double jeopardy. My God has washed away my sins. My God has acquitted me. I am forgiven. We got a God of a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. Hallelujah. Yes, each of us were guilty of sin, but God has a witness protection program if we agree to enter into that program. Turn to Romans, the third chapter. Verse 23, Paul's saying to the church at Rome, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation," or an atonement, "through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." The gavel came down. Not guilty. Not because we were innocent, because he was innocent. And now we have taken on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So when the enemy comes looking for evidence against us, he runs into a cold trail. It's dead end at the blood of Jesus, where my sins were washed away. It's dead end at the very edge of the baptismal, when I'm still dripping from water. It's a dead end, a cold trail. Nothing can be brought against me because it's double jeopardy. A new man has been cleaned up and has no more records. Pharaoh and his Egyptian army couldn't get through the waters of the Red Sea to drag Israel back into Egypt. And the devil cannot get through the water to drag us back into the old life, because we've entered into the witness protection program of God. Please turn to Colossians, the second chapter. Colossians 2 and verse number 11. "In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." How? buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. You know, there's an operation that separates us from the flesh and the old sins when we are baptized, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled the principalities and powers, he made show of them openly, triumphing over. You know, God is saying, na 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 na, you can't get to my people who are in the witness protection program. I'm sorry, I've got angels stationed around them. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or what you eat or drink, or in respect to any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Don't let anybody come back to you and say, hey, you still have to observe the Sabbath. You still have to observe this. Uh-uh. I nailed all of that to the cross. There's no more. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 said this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And that word creature means the original formation, as with Adam and Eve. God creates everything perfect, but man gets their hands on it and messes it up. You know, books are good, but then man got their hands on it. I believe TV was good, then man got their hands on it. The internet was good, then man got their hands on it. Facebook could be good, then man got their hands on it. And so God's saying, hey, I want to take you back to Adam and Eve. They were made and created and perfect, but I can redo that whole deal. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We must get in Christ and then get Christ in us. I get in Christ when I step out of the baptismal, and I get Christ in me when I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I get in him, he gets in me. And now all of a sudden, I don't worry about some of those gangsters that are around. I don't worry about, man, are we going to have enough money to make the ends meet at the end of the month? I don't worry about, I could get cancer, I guess. I don't worry about those things, because now I'm in a witness protection program, and it's saying, as long as you're a witness, as long as you will testify, listen, I'm going to take care of all of your situations. Anyone here want to enter into the program? You can't do that with your mouth shut. You can't do that looking like the world. You can't do that by talking like the world or doing what the world does. It's a safe place with many benefits. The enemy can't get to you, and God always provides for you if you'll stay in the program. I've seen people opt out of the program, and I look at their lives. Their lives don't look any better. They look worse. Their struggles. They don't put their head down on the pillow at night and say, oh, I feel peace. No, because they've opted out of the program that God has designed in order to protect and supply and to keep that which he paid the greatest price for. God's taking applications this morning. For those who are tired of running and looking over their shoulders and feel threatened and worried about what could happen tomorrow, God's saying, hey, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Our last scripture, if our musicians would come, is Romans, the 8th chapter. I love this scripture. Romans 8 and 33, it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect, that's us. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Can you imagine? God is a mediator for us. He is always there. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can try. You can't get to me. We got a big God who puts his big arms around us and said, these are my children. Hallelujah. I've got a program that they're in. From time to time, the U.S. Marshals can mess up. But I'm telling you, we've got a God who will never, ever leave us or forsake us or stop defending us or supplying for us. Got a good God. Amen. I'd like to sign somebody up this morning. Hallelujah. We put on Christ right back here. And most of the time, Christ is put in us right here. And we are then qualified. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Brother Mooney said some things yesterday to a group of us pastors, and we're trying to glean from him because he's been around, he's obtained. He has a large church, including 300 Bible students that come to Indiana Bible College. And he said, you know what, I have to make a clear sound. I can say this is important and that's important, but then I never define what this is. What if I said, you know, folks, you've got to be born again, and then I don't even tell them what born again is. You ought to be holy, but then I don't tell them what holiness is all about. It's lame preaching, because we need to get down to the definition of what God really has for us in this book. So we can enter into all of the benefits God has for us in this book. The altar is open. Would you come?